Hi there, thank you for joining me. My name is Dr. Andrea Hazim, and a lot of you know my handsome hubby, Dr. Jeff. We're both chiropractors and nutritionists, and my passion is teaching people about health as far as keeping their temples healthy and being glorifying to God with your food and how you eat. If you're anything like I am, you probably at some point have set health goals and you have dreams about what your future health will look like, or just dreams in general about your future. You might want to take a trip somewhere or achieve something special in your business or whatever it may be. And if you're anything like I am, a lot of times you might fall short on those things and just be like, oh man, why couldn't I hit that mark? That was a goal that I had that I really wanted to achieve. Well, I want to encourage you today with a scripture. I love going to the Word of God whenever I have a question or I need encouragement. And this one is one that has always encouraged me. It's my life verse, Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to give you a future and a hope." And I hope if you've never heard that before, it touched your heart. And I know that that is true and that He has a future and a hope for my life and my health. And that's what we're here talking about today, your health. Now, a lot of times, what I've seen in my life and in others is one of the reasons why we don't necessarily hit our goals and meet the mark that we may have set is sometimes it's a feeling of, and we're not, it's not even a conscious thought, of unworthiness. We might not even realize that we don't feel worthy to take the time out in our schedule to exercise, or we don't feel worthy to spend the money it might take to go to a seminar and learn more about health. Or I know sometimes I look on at my husband, he's so diligent to work out, and I'll quickly forsake my time to invest in my temple to go do something else. Like, well, the kids need me for here or there. And then I just kind of let it slip away. And then there it goes. The goal was not reached. And the goal that was glorifying to God by protecting my temple. So I like to come back to, well, why are we worthy? Because we are. Why are you worthy? Well, you are worthy because God has plans for you, like I just told you in Jeremiah 29:11. And you're a king's kid, which means you're royalty, and you have an inheritance of a heavenly kingdom. But that kingdom doesn't just start in heaven one day. He says in the word that we are able to enjoy that kingdom now here on earth. But what is it going to take for us really to achieve those goals and stand up in who we are in Christ and achieve that? Well, I believe that we must design our life. I think God has a design for our life, like it said in Jeremiah, that He has plans for us. Well, we need to as well come in agreement with His plans and make our own plans. So if you think about it, when you design your life, you're going to be making choices. Choices about every aspect. You might make financial goals. You'll have to have choices there. And with every choice, there is a benefit or a price. So there's a scripture that says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as a witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." And that's in Deuteronomy. I love that saying because it helps us to choose wisely, to realize that there is a choice. Every moment presents a choice. Every moment. And if you relate it back to health, everything you put in your mouth is a choice. Unless somebody's forcing food down your throat. But usually you go purchase the food, you put it in your cart, you pay for it with your money. And you choose at the register what you will buy. You choose to bring it home, prepare it, get your food ready to eat, and feed it to your family, feed it to yourself. So it is a choice. And I want you to remember that every moment presents a choice. Every choice has a benefit or a price. In the future, I'd like you to hear my voice in the grocery store or while you're cooking and ask yourself, what is the cost or the benefit of what I'm choosing to put in my body right now? Now, if you're choosing to eat an apple, good for you. I'm proud of you. But if you're choosing on a daily basis to eat things that are denatured and are going to destroy your temple, then I would like you to take a look at that and make a better choice. In the Word, God has exhortations, He has warnings, and there's one scripture that I'd like to tell you from Ecclesiastes 7:12, where it says, "Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is that this wisdom preserves the life of its possessor." So there's an exhortation that if you get knowledge, it'll actually preserve your life. God is giving us advice that He wants us to preserve our life by learning, like you're learning right now, listening to this teaching. Then there's others that are a warning. And in Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, he says, "Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him." Oh, that's so scary. "For God's temple is sacred and you are that temple." So not only are you a king's kid, destined for royalty and an inheritance, but you literally are living in a temple of God where his Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. So we have to take care of this. It's like a little castle that you're living in here on earth, and he really desires for us to protect it. I already mentioned the scripture in Deuteronomy about blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. I think that is such a beautiful way that God gives us so clearly in his word that we have to choose. We're an active part. We have a huge part to play. It doesn't just happen by default. A cloud just doesn't come over us and it rain down cancer or arthritis or any other degenerative process. So we have to take a look at that. Now, in life, there are two sides to every coin, right? On one side, we can have life. On the other side, death. On one side, light. The other side, darkness. Health, sickness, blessings, curses, benefits, and then the cost. So we have to constantly look at both sides of the coin to see, which way is this coin going to fall? Now, I don't believe it's just a random toss-up. I believe we have an active part to play, and we will literally choose which side of that coin lands up. And my prayer for you is that you would choose life, light, health, blessings, benefits, and make that a lifestyle. Now, are we always going to be perfect? No, of course not. And my husband makes fun of me because I'm the queen of turning things into a celebration. But we still have to maintain a lifestyle of eating that is going to be glorifying to our temple, not in a way of worshiping our temple like an idol. I'm not talking about trying to look like a supermodel or Mr. America with all the muscles, but having your temple be fit for service to the king. If he calls you into ministry, if he calls you to the mission field, if he calls you to get up early to get your kids ready for school or have enough energy at night to give some time to your family and you're not falling asleep on the couch, then we need to protect our body and live in a way that we can have that vitality. And we have the consciousness during our waking hours that we have so much energy to be able to pour into others' lives and do the responsibilities that we are supposed to do every day. So what do you think could possibly be standing in the way for you in your own personal health revelation? And I pray today that you get some health revelation and all the teachings on biblical health. That's what they are. They're revelation. Some of the things you might know, but you're always adding layers upon layers of your understanding. I love reading an area of scripture over 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever many times, and I get something new out of it every time. So let me encourage you to go back to past teachings on BHTV and take notes. So back to what is getting in the way of your health revelation? And what hurdle do you need to leap over to revolutionize your health? What would you like your health to look like? Well, I did this talk recently, and in the audience, I asked them for input. And I said, what do you think gets in the way? And a lot of hands went up, and things that I heard were things like, well, you know, I'm just too busy. Or, I'm too tired. You know, when I get home, I don't want to cook. I'd rather just go through a drive-thru. Or I don't know how. I don't know how to cook healthy. I don't even know how to cook at all, let alone cook healthy. Or another one, is it really that important? I mean, come on. I know people who smoked their whole life and didn't get cancer. Or, you know, eat junk food every day and they're fine. They don't have cancer. So how important is it really to care about our temple? Or how about this one? I don't know where to start. It's such a big topic. There is so much to learn, and I really don't know where to begin. So forget it. I'm just not even going to start. And that's like defeatist mentality. Right off the bat, you haven't even gotten out of the gate yet. And it's just like, well, forget it. There's just too much. And then a lot of people would say, well, you know what? I don't have time now, but that's something I know. I should look at that, but I'll deal with it later. Not now. I have too many things on my plate. Maybe a month from now, maybe next year. You know, I'm still young, I'm still healthy. Maybe when I hit 40 and I'm starting to like feel like, oh, I better do something about my health. Maybe then. Well, what I would like to tell you is all these little hurdles or obstacles that get in the way of you receiving a real revelation that would lead you to stepping into a revolution to revolutionize your health would be what I call the slime of self-sabotage. Have you ever seen the goop that little kids, my boys have a recipe, they make their own homemade slime. It's hysterical. It's like borax and Elmer's glue, and it's crazy. And they literally have this slime that they can play with, and it doesn't get on anything or stain anything. It's pretty funny. Well, I want you to imagine that you have your hand out right now, and I'm handing you a piece of gooey, wet, green slime. And you're going to play with it, and it's going to represent to you the slime of self-sabotage. And you see how it oozes, and it's cold and yucky? Well, that's what we want to get out of our life. This is what the enemy loves. He loves us to destroy our health with our own hands. And I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to give him any joy and to shirk my responsibility to my king to be the best me I can be and to shine and be able to serve the king. If it's helping somebody or, like I said before, being able to go. If he says go, I want to say, yes, Lord, where, when, and how, and have the vitality to do it. So let's get rid of the slime of self-sabotage, because that slime grows and it just oozes into every area of your life. And next thing you know, you are just becoming a couch potato. You have no interest. If somebody talks about health, you maybe will leave the room and I don't want to hear it, because you really know in the back of your mind, this is an important issue that you can't just ignore forever. And it's something that really deserves your attention. Like I said, you're royalty. You are a daughter or son of a king. And royalty, they don't live in poverty. They're not eating junk food every day. They're eating the food of kings. And I don't mean that literally, like on this earth, that you should be eating fine cheeses and desserts and wines. And think about Daniel. He refused the king's food. I just mean to have a mentality of abundance, that you deserve to have health in your life. You deserve to have vitality. You deserve to have healthy food. You deserve to have energy. And that is my goal today, is to help you get rid of that slime of self-sabotage so it isn't destroying your goals. Now, we need things that are going to back up our desire to reach these goals. And for me, I have been able to identify what it is that I'm passionate about in my life. So I would like you to think about that right now. What are your passions? Now, some people might say, oh, my faith, I'm passionate about my walk with the Lord. That's awesome. I love when that's the first answer. How about family? My husband, I'm passionate about my kids. I'm passionate about my extended family, my parents and my nieces and nephews. And I just love my family. Are you passionate about ministry? About helping orphans and widows and prison ministry or missions overseas, helping youth, helping elderly? What kind of mission are you passionate about? And how about health? Are you passionate about health? Are you passionate about feeling great, having that energy? Or maybe it's a hobby. Maybe you're passionate about golf. Or I know for me, it's dancing. I love Zumba. I'm a Zumba instructor. So everybody has something different that they are passionate about. And why am I bringing up passions? Because passions get you excited, and they're the why that drive your life. So if you can identify the why in your life, why is it that you want to have health? Why is it that you want to have abundance, whether it's financial or spiritual or any way? It's because of the passions in your life. You want to be able to pour into those passions to have them be the main thing of your life. It doesn't just have to be a side thing like, oh, I have my job and then I have my passions on the side. It would be such a blessing to be passionate about everything we do in life. And so when you've identified those, maybe one, two, three, if you have more, great. It's only just that much more motivating. Once you have figured out what your passions are, write down your passions, look at them, pray about them, and then you're going to know what your obstacles are and what your passions are that will fuel your goals. Then, and only then, will you be ready to learn how to reclaim your health. And that how is a big topic. It's a big topic. It's a topic that we discuss fully and in every aspect of the spectrum on Biblical Health TV. And you get so much teaching on how to reclaim your health. But first, I want you to identify what your obstacles are, where you're having the slime of self-sabotage, set about to remove it, and then identify your passions. And with all those tools, hopefully written down in your journal where you could see them on paper, because that makes it so powerful, then you can take a look at what's going to happen next. How are you going to reclaim your temple and get some tools for health? You know, God desires that you take an active part in protecting your temple. Yes, it is His desire. And if you read Proverbs 4:7, it says, wisdom is supreme. Get wisdom. Get is not a passive word. Get is an active word. Get is you actually have to get out of your chair. You have to get some energy, some momentum, and reach for it. Strive for it and desire to have it. It's out of your way, in other words. It doesn't just come to you and fall in your lap. You have to get it. You have to go get it. And what is He telling you? Get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Those are two huge words, wisdom and understanding. And on biblicalhealth.tv, this is what we are about. We are about providing you with wisdom and understanding. Today, we're talking about the wisdom of knowing your obstacles, knowing what gets in your way, the understanding of what fuels you, what are your passions, what are your goals. Let's set some goals, some short-term goals, some little action steps to achieve them, and then some long-term goals with your health. Maybe a short-term goal might be to do like maybe a two-day detox, a little cleanse, 2 days of liquid, like you're drinking water for 2 days. They have something called a master cleanse. You could put lemon juice and cayenne, and you can look up that recipe, something like that. That could be a very small short-term goal to help you get to some longer-term goals in your health. But whatever you do, remember, God is encouraging you to get wisdom, get understanding, though it costs all you have, okay? Now, with all of that knowledge that we just talked about, you are going to be able to fortify yourself. And what is yourself? Like we said earlier in the scripture, like God said, your temple, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are holy. Your temple is literally a holy place where God dwells inside of you. And I see it kind of like a little castle. And a castle to me is something that's fortified, right? I think of the old city of Jerusalem with King Solomon's temple, this fortified, beautiful temple on a hill with walls around it. It's that beautiful imagery of that place where God dwelled. Now, you have to see yourself the same way. You are a small version of that. And what is it going to take to fortify you? Well, you are going to have to protect yourself and put boundaries around yourself and help yourself. So here's a few tips of what I think would help you. First, the Word of God. Definitely first and foremost, I've provided you with a lot of good scriptures today from Corinthians, from Proverbs, and I would like you to write all those down on index cards and tape them around your house. You'll think of me because I've done this. This is where I got these scriptures from. God has given me these in my health journey when I was learning. So number one, you're going to fortify yourself with the Word of God, memorizing it, posting it, looking at it, meditating on it, and just knowing it. Knowing it is specifically in the area of health, because that's what we're talking about here today. Now, another one could be prayer. And of course, the power of the Holy Spirit, because you're dead in the water if you don't have that. Now, prayer, God cares about every aspect of your health. Don't think that it's a silly thing to pray about. I love telling this story that we had a woman once at our seminar who literally told me that she couldn't eat a vegetable because she would gag and she'd be too embarrassed that maybe the vegetable would go flying. So we prayed for her taste buds. We prayed for the gag reflex, literally. And, you know, she was laughing and some people would say, oh, come on, you know, why would you pray about that? I believe God cares about everything that's going to affect your health, everything. So we prayed. I forgot about it. A couple weeks or months later, they invited us over for dinner and we came and she was so proud and excited to point out the fact that she had cooked a vegetable stir fry and she was happily eating it and I had forgotten about the prayer. She said, don't you remember you prayed for my taste buds and my gag reflex and I can eat every vegetable now. God healed me. So He cares. And let me just encourage you, maybe that might speak to you in some way. Maybe you just don't like fruits and vegetables. But you know what? God would desire you to like them. He put them in the Garden of Eden for us, and they're life-giving. The life that is in that fruit and vegetable is going to provide life for your body. So we need to start getting those into our diet more and more. Another one is get wisdom, like we saw in that scripture earlier. And how are you going to get that wisdom? Remember, it's active. It's not passive. It's not just going to fall on your lap. It's not just going to download into your brain like you're syncing your iPod or something. You have to get it. You have to go out and get it. And with that, you're going to be gaining health tools, tips, things that you're going to learn that you can put in your tool belt of health that are going to help you get through this journey of the crazy food culture world that we live in. Okay? What else? You need like-minded friends. People who will stand beside you and they will be your undergirding and hold up your arms when you're in a battle, when you're tempted to go down and just give in and eat those things that are going to destroy your health. I'm not saying once in a while you shouldn't do that. Of course, there's times when it's appropriate, a birthday, an anniversary, a party. However, things like that can seem to string together and become one big lifestyle. And if it's your children you're allowing to eat like that, then they literally are living on the birthday party diet. And that is not a lifestyle of life in your food. That is all dead food, and that's not something you want. So get with like-minded friends. Get with like-minded moms. I know a lot of what I would call pure moms who don't allow their children to eat food coloring or hydrogenated oils or artificial sweeteners and white flours and things like that. It's just not in their homes. And I love when my kids go there because I don't have to be worried like, oh, what are they eating over there? You know, it's just pure and they're like-minded. So it's a great environment for your kids to also have other friends and families that eat the same way. And your husband or your wife, get them on board with you with your health journey. It is so much more powerful when two join together and you have God. You know the scripture about the three-corded strand, right? Three strands, how it's not easily broken. Well, that's what you need. So you need to fortify yourself, link yourself up with other like-minded friends and believers, family members who can go on this journey with you. And don't discount your children. Your children are great accountability. I know I've taught my kids how to be label detectives, and now they will literally be like, why did you buy this, Mom? Did you see the ingredient in this? Like, maybe I didn't have my magnifying glasses that day to read the ingredient, or we're at a party. And they know that they're going to come and ask. They know they don't want to eat those things that make them feel sick and sluggish and get a runny nose or sore throat or whatever it is. And then lastly, set yourself up with an accountability buddy. Somebody, at least one person that you can say, I am committing to, for example, not eat sugar for the next 30 days and detox that from my taste buds and every cell of my body, and have somebody who will check in with you. Maybe you text them every day, or maybe they text you, how's it going today? And you are not alone, and you help them with a goal in their life. So if you have somebody who's in it with you, helping you with your goals along this journey of health, you will be that much more successful and you'll have fortified yourself. You know, I've had people ask me in the past, what do I do if I don't have anybody in my life who's really into health? How do I bring it to them? You know, it's one thing to have like-minded friends. It's another thing to have a community of friends where you're the first one learning these truths. So what can you do? Well, I want to give you some encouragement, maybe a little insight, because I was there too at one point. And it was actually difficult with my own family. After I started to learn these things and went to grandma's house for dinner and didn't want to eat her white pasta and didn't want to eat her this, that, and the other, and it was difficult. It was a difficult environment. So what can you do? Well, I think the best thing you can do, and it's kind of like the same thing with sharing our faith, the best thing to do is lead by example and be a light in front of them. You don't want to bowl anybody over with, oh, you know it all and they don't, and I have the right answers, you're wrong. That's going to turn people off in a hurry. But people love yummy food. So what I would encourage you to do is find some great recipes. Like recently, I've been making this white bean cake. Now, people go, oh my gosh, beans, you made a cake out of beans, and they don't even want to try it. But if I don't say this is bean cake, and they eat it, it is like the moistest, it seems like the box mix of some mainstream brand you'd find on the supermarket shelf, moist and yummy yellow cake. And it's made out of beans, literally beans, with some coconut flour, coconut oil, some eggs. You can't believe how delicious this cake is. Well, you bring that to a party and people go, oh my gosh, what is this? And wow, and then you start to say, oh, I'm so glad you like it. Well, guess what? There's no sugar in that. And guess what? There's no white flour in that bleached with Clorox. Guess what? The icing is, you know, healthy. It's not full of sugar. And they really can't believe it. And they'll be asking you for the recipe. Now you have a lead in, and then you can continue on with other things. Well, you know what? I found this, and I really don't need the food coloring because there's this version instead, and so on and so forth. And you will have such delight as people come to you now as the expert on the block. And that's a lot of fun because then they're open. They're open to you saying anything. If they have a question, they'll say, "Did you read anything or do you know anything about this?" You say, "No, you know what? But I'll look it up for you." And that's a great way to lead in. Oh, another one that I like to do at parties is I'll make a big batch of herbal iced tea. Now, most people are going to drink that sugary, sweet corn syrup, food coloring, typical tea. But I make the most delicious tea that's herbal tea with the brand Celestial Seasoning. I love them. They have so many flavors, even like blueberry or cherry or peppermint or just traditional tea flavor. And then I sweeten it with stevia, which is zero calories and made from a leaf. And people go, "Oh my gosh," kids go crazy. They love it. They can't drink enough of the tea. And then when I get to, "Oh, here's the tea," and I put the box on the counter and here's the sweetener. "Oh, just touch your finger to this. It's 600 times sweeter than sugar with no calories and no harmful chemicals. It's not aspartame." And you got their attention. You got their attention because it's something they can do practically in their house. It didn't cost any extra. They could get it at the same supermarket where they always shopped and do this for their family. My kids make the tea. I don't even have to do it. So it's a win-win, and you become the expert. So I hope that that will give you some good ideas. So, what's one more thing that you could do is keep learning on Biblical Health TV and gaining the wisdom and knowledge through this tool that God's provided in your life. And look up on the internet, finding healthy recipes to cook anything that you want to cook in your kitchen. You could swap out the bad ingredients and replace it with good ingredients. So, you can also fortify yourself with being creative in the kitchen and just having a standard. That standard will help you because you will not settle for less than what you feel God is showing you as a standard for your family. I can share with you what the standards are for my family, and you might want to implement those in your home, but that's something that I really would like you to learn and get the wisdom here and then take it to the Lord and have Him confirm that to you. Because if you're not really getting that backup from Him, then it's not going to be as real to you. So I'm excited for you. And I can't wait to hear. Maybe you can send me an email or let me know how you're doing if you have any questions. This is an area that I think that you are going to be so successful once you've fortified yourself and you're going to have those passions in your life that are going to fuel it. So you're going to have your backup, your fortified castle, your passions. You are ready to go. There's no more slime of self-sabotage. You're going to be able to take that slime and throw it as far as the east is from the west, like God does with our sins, right? So, thank you so much for joining me here today. And I want to encourage you on your journey. And I look forward to our times together in the future where I'll get to teach you some more on the how-to, like we talked about today. So, stay tuned and just keep on keeping on. I'm excited for you. I look forward to sharing with you again in the future. May God go with you as you continue to learn. God bless you. Bye-bye.